It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this morning we're going to read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, this is the bulletin we pass out to all those who assemble at Rock Cliff on Sunday mornings, and it has to do, the article in that bulletin has to do with a sermon that I would preach that morning, and this bulletin article is titled, With All Authority. With All Authority. And it is about the nature of the epistles that Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus. Well, let me read it to you, and you'll understand. Paul wrote with authority to Timothy and Titus. It is the authority that gives his words power. He writes as an apostle. He begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. Note the authority in that word, commandment. In 2 Timothy 1:1, he writes again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And in Titus 1:1, it is, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 7, Paul wrote, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. And then for emphasis, he added, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 11, he wrote, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Paul was an apostle by commandment, by ordination, by appointment, and by the will of God. The word apostle means one sent. As a servant acts under the authority of the one he serves, so also an apostle acts under the authority of the one who sent him. Paul was sent by Jesus. In these epistles, he ascribes the highest authority to Jesus. Paul calls him Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. He refers to Jesus as Lord 24 times in these three epistles. Paul tells us that Jesus is our hope in 1 Timothy 1:1. And Jesus is the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. 1 Timothy 1:17. Jesus is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. 1 Timothy 6:15 through 16. Jesus in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3 is God our Savior. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, he is God manifest in the flesh. To Titus, Paul asserted that the faith and truth he preached was committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, Titus 1:3. Here again we have the word commandment. There is also authority in the word committed. Paul said the glorious gospel of the blessed God was committed to my trust, 1 Timothy 1:11. With this commitment to his trust, Paul is given the responsibility and power of a trustee. In the next verse, he writes how Jesus enabled him, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. That means Jesus empowered him. Jesus put him into the ministry, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Having been empowered by Jesus, Paul writes with words of authority to Timothy and Titus. Note the words, charge, commandment, commitment, ordained, appointed, and other words of authority in the following references. Charge them that they teach no other doctrine. The end of the commandment is charity. This charge I commit unto thee, Timothy. These things command and teach. these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things. I give thee charge in the sight of God that thou keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable. Charge them that are rich in this world. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. 1 Timothy 1, 3, 5, and 18. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Chapter 5 and verse 7 and 21. Chapter 6, verses 13, 14, 17, and 20. And then Titus. Set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, but speak the things which become sound doctrine. Young men likewise exhort these things, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Put them in mind. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will thou affirm constantly. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 and 13. Titus chapter 2, verses 1, 6 and 15. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And then 2 Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words. That good thing that was committed unto thee, keep. The same commit thou to faithful men. Consider what I say. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. 2 Timothy 1 verses 13 and 14. Chapters 2 verses 2 and 7 and 14. In chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we might ask why Paul would emphasize his authority to Timothy and Titus, who would not have questioned it. I suggest that these were personal epistles. They were written to be read publicly. Those who heard would understand the authority under which Timothy and Titus were acting. These letters empowered Timothy and Titus, and rightly divided, they empower us. When we speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, we are not speaking with authority intrinsic to ourselves, but with the authority imparted by the word given through Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The power is in the word. Preach the word. Well, now that was the bulletin article, and that's the gist of the sermon that I gave that particular Sunday, and it shows us the reverence and respect we have for what the Bible says. You see, we have reverence and respect for what the Bible says because we have reverence and respect toward God. This is what God says, and you do not respect God if you do not respect his word. Now, I read from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're in the midst of a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of June the 13th, 1926, about Joseph and his fidelity. Let me read to you verses 1 through 6 of Genesis chapter 36. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hand of the Ishmaelites that had brought him down thither. And Jehovah was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight. And he ministered unto him, and made him overseer over his house, and over all that he put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that Joseph blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of Jehovah was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught that it was with him, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was comely and well favored. Now that's from Genesis chapter 38. In chapter 37, it relates the conspiracy of Joseph's envious brothers to destroy him, the plan of Reuben to save him from death and restore him to his father, and the proposition of Judah to sell him and in this way get rid of him without killing him, and yet make something for themselves. Judah's proposition was acted upon, and the helpless boy was drawn from the waterless cistern and sold to the Ishmaelites, or Midianites, or both, for 20 pieces of silver. Ishmael, Midian, and Midian were sons of Abraham. Ishmael by Hagar, Midian and Midian by Keturah. We read in the book of Judges about the Ishmaelites and the Midianites as though they're the same people. Either both these tribes are represented in this transaction, or one is included in the other, and their names are used interchangeably. The horribly wicked deed of 9 strong grown men, well, Reuben had planned to restore Joseph safe to his father. They were conspiring to bury alive a helpless and defenseless lad by casting him into a gloomy pit to die of starvation and anguish, while in distress of soul he pled for his life. And that presents one of the saddest and most cruel pictures which the imagination can draw. All this came vividly to his brothers in Egypt when they stood before Joseph and confessed to themselves, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear." Genesis 42:21. Joseph pleaded for his life, and he besought his brothers, but this deterred them not. His brothers were never able to rid themselves of the frightful picture of his distress and anguish of soul indelibly stamped upon their guilty consciences as they dropped him into the pit, or as he longingly looked toward home when he was sold and led away as a slave into Egypt. Regardless of the tears and distress of their young brother, these cruel, brutal men sat down to eat bread as though they had done no wrong. According to their agreement, Joseph was sold to these merchant men. What were his thoughts, and what was his hope? To escape on the way from Dothan to Egypt have not been revealed. The Midianites sold him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard, the chief of the executioners. Clark's commentary says he was captain of those guards whose business it was to take care of the royal persons and to execute his foreign will upon all the subjects of his displeasure. And then, as verse 2 states, that whether a helpless lad in a pit, a slave in Potiphar's house, a prisoner or a ruler, Jehovah was with Joseph. Hundreds of years after this, Paul, who had suffered so much for Christ's sake, said, "If God is for us, who is against us?" And Peter also asked, "And who is he that will harm you, if you be zealous of that which is good?" His master saw that Jehovah's was with him, and that Jehovah made all he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight. And he ministered to him and made him overseer over all his house and all that he put in his hand. And it came to pass at the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all he had, that Jehovah blessed the Egyptian for for Joseph's sake.